This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
I have a very good friend who's been a pet parent for 7 Australian Shepherds and 2 cats. The care and love that she's bestowed on all of them has been touching to observe, and it's always been a pleasure to assist her in keeping her kids healthy. When the time came to let each of them leave her side, I watched her go through agonizing pain. Each time she's moved forward, but the pace has been slower and slower, and her pain has become debilitating. As a veterinarian, I'm trained to reduce pain and suffering and maintain the health of animals. Sadly, the majority of veterinarians, myself included, are not trained in assisting pet parents with the transitions that will occur in all of our lives, the preparation and recovery from the loss of our pets. My guest, a dear friend and classmate, is an exception. Dr. Liz Fernandez is a certified hospice and palliative care practitioner. Several years ago, she wrote a marvelous book, Sacred Gifts of a Short Life, uncovering the gifts of our pet's end-of-life journey. She continues to assist pet parents and veterinarians in handling transitions with grace and peace. We'll be right back after this short break to talk about how we can let go and how we can recover.
She's a purebred orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out.
DINOVITE.com.
So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
On Dynavite, she's Little Miss Hollywood.
DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Dr. Liz, it is so good to have you back on the show again.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Bernie.
And it's true. I was never trained. You weren't initially trained on how to help these pet parents with one of the most gut-wrenching experiences that we all go through, and it's never easy. And sometimes people need a little bit of extra help, and it's hard to know where can you get this. So explain, please, to the listeners, what's hospice, what's palliative care?
Sure. So I think back in about 2006 or 2009, somewhere in there, several veterinarians got together and decided to create a veterinarian that were going to focus on hospice and palliative care. And they since created a certification for veterinarians, which, you know, basically it requires more time than most veterinarians have in a normal office visit situation, because the issues that people are dealing with are much more involved. And so
it's psychologically and physiologically so tough on these folks. You know, they feel like they're playing God so many times, they say. It's like, how do I know when's the right time?
Right. So, and to be honest, a lot of the people that are certified and are going through this certification aren't necessarily, you know, we have a paradigm in veterinary medicine that we as the veterinarian know when they're suffering. And we tell the client, and then they go along with whatever it is that we say. Unfortunately, that's often not the case. So sometimes they feel that it's time and we don't, or sometimes we feel it's time and they don't. And how do we deal with that? And that's something that I kind of have uniquely come to, and not as much in terms of how I or my training as a veterinarian or even in the certification program, but just my own spiritual journey, which is basically we have to listen. This is a spiritual question. It's a question where we have to listen deeply within ourselves and be able to recognize that A, we have this ability to do this, that we can trust this ability, and then we can act on it. And that's one of the things that I talk about in my book, is just that process of listening deeply and letting our bodies recognize, you know, because our bodies do recognize when we have a strong emotional reaction. Like, I've had clients that just everything in their body says, this is not the right path. And so they search out someone who will support them in whatever that path, whatever they feel is the right path. And it turns out to be an amazing experience. So that's kind of what is required, is letting people begin to understand that what's true for them in that moment is what's important, and not some checklist or what others have done, or even what they've done in another circumstance with another pet. Because sometimes I've had people that have said, I've done everything and I want to do everything. And then all of a sudden they get to the situation in front of them and they go, oh no, this is not what wants to happen here. And so they feel guilt about that. But in fact, they're actually listening to something deeper that, no, this is it. I had a client who, I saw her dog every week for her entire life since she got her at 8 weeks. The reason was I was seeing her other dogs when she was a puppy. So I would see her there, but I wasn't treating her. And then not every week, every month. And she got to be 9, and I had started treating her the last 2 years. And all of a sudden she collapsed and went down in her rear legs. And she was just in an awful lot of pain. They did MRIs, they did all sorts of things. And we're all thinking, oh, she's a very healthy young acting dog. But she deteriorated quickly, and within about 3 or 4 days, we went ahead and euthanized her. Turns out that the lady who owned her had told me afterwards that she had had this experience with her dog, where about 2 months before, her dog had looked at her and she said, this doesn't happen to me, but I heard her say, I'm not going to be here much longer. And she didn't want to hear that. But then when this all unfolded, she was much more accepting of what was happening and the devastating things that were happening without trying to, I mean, we still did try several things to help her, but they, you know, even the surgeons were saying, there's nothing I can do here. And it turned out to be, that was the truth. So somehow, somewhere deep inside of her, she knew that. And I remember looking at this dog thinking, oh, she's got, you know, I wanted to be able to help her too. And there was just something within me that was saying really deeply, I don't think this is going to work. There's something in her eyes. I don't think she's going to make it. And that's not really something that you can teach, but it's something that I can help people to recognize and to accept. And this loss was over a year ago, and my client still is just torn up about it at one level. And at another level, she absolutely knows that this is what was going to happen, and if you want to say it's supposed to happen or whatever, but she's okay. She knows that she made the right decision in this case, whereas in other cases, she's done heroic things.
Well, Dr. Fernandez, my question for you is, here's this woman who sounds like she has the spirituality where she was comfortable with that decision, and so many people aren't, or they need some guidance. And we're talking about certification for, it's not just veterinarians, correct? How do people find someone who can help them on this journey?
So there's the organization is the International Animal Association for Animal Hospice and Palliative Care, IAAHPC. And you can go to their website and find veterinarians who have been certified. And there's also a certification through the CHI Institute in Florida, and you can find veterinarians who've been certified through that organization. And that is where we do, there's a more of a focus on Chinese medicine, but also and you know, using that, integrating it into hospice and palliative care. So those two organizations have people. The IAHPC does certify both technicians and social workers to work as a team, because the consensus is that this is something that needs to be a team approach instead of just one person. So for more of the psychological things, a lot of times they'll have, you know, someone on the team that is a social worker or a psychologist. And for some of the more nursing care types of things that are done at home, once you've established a relationship, those are things that a technician can do. And so you know, you can send your technician out to give sub-Q fluids or to, you know, do a recheck evaluation and those sorts of things so that the people don't need to come in. Now, right now, all of that is kind of, you know, we're in a different world as far as veterinary care. So
because of COVID, yes.
Yeah. But that's how you reach out to find these people. And more every year, there's more and more people being certified. So I think they've had 4 certification classes now, and I think they're on the 5th one this year. So
if somebody goes online and they're saying, yes, my pet is having and seeing these major life issues, and I've spoken to my regular veterinarian, my daytime veterinarian, and they're helping, but I need more. I'm seeing many services for in-home euthanasia. This is more than that, correct?
Yes, it is more than that. Now, a lot of the people that do work with the organizations that offer in-home euthanasia, they also do end-of-life consultations. And that's good because perhaps people aren't sure and maybe there are other things that can be done at home and to help them. And so, you know, they have that option. And some of these people many of the people that are doing the in-home euthanasias are also certified in hospice and palliative care. So, you know, some of them will say, you know, we do these, we offer appropriate, or whether there are some things that we can do, you know, in a home setting without having to have your animal come in. And, you know, there are those people that actually want to have natural death. And that's not something that is widely promoted or even talked about in veterinary medicine, but it is something that sometimes is appropriate, but that requires a lot more handholding on the part of the team, especially the veterinarian, so that people have an understanding of what it is that, you know, can happen or may happen and being okay with that. There are drugs that we can, you know, we call them emergency kits or, you know, so that people have certain medications that can be helpful in case something happens like a seizure or, you know, extreme pain, where they can give these medications at home and then get a hold of somebody as soon as possible. So there are a lot of options that may not be something that your referring veterinarian or even your specialty veterinarian, if you see it, let's say your dog has an oncologist or a cardiologist or, you know, is working with an internal medicine person, that they may not offer. And I think most importantly, I think it's important that people know that they can ask the question and hopefully their veterinarian will be able to help them and guide them to someone. But if not, they can go to these other websites and start searching for someone. And obviously, you know, we're in Southern California, so there's a multitude of options, you know, available. I know that in other parts of the country, that's not nearly as easily found, these sorts of services. So,
Dr. Fernandez, you mentioned natural death, and I think that's a term that people, you know, they have this vision of what a natural death is going to be. Can you define for you what is a natural death?
Well, it's a death where we have not given them an injection to euthanize them. Now, natural death can be as challenging and more so even than a natural birth, right? So it's not always pain-free. It's not always pleasant to visualize or, you know, experience. And sometimes it can be. And we can give them things that can be helpful. And I've seen, you know, pets that have died naturally. I have talked with people whose pets have died naturally. And it can be a beautiful experience. And I have many cases where people have said it was just so wonderful, but they had an expectation that, you know, this dying process, just like when a woman gives birth, that actual birthing, it's painful. I mean, there's just no way around that. Mm-hmm. And if not, you know, let's say that you've been given something for the pain, it's still, I mean, if you didn't know what you were looking at, it could be a little disconcerting. And that's what happens with death. And we don't see death. So we don't know what that looks like. You know, when someone takes that last breath and it makes a sound, that can be disconcerting, but it's not painful. And if you look at it in a different way and recognize that that's them birthing into death right at that moment, whether that's a person or an animal, it gives you a whole different perspective on what you just saw. And instead of being traumatized by it, because we've never seen it before. We never knew that that would happen. And all of a sudden, this is what we see. We're traumatized. But if we know that that's what it looks like and we understand what's actually happening, then it can be, we can look at it as that sacred mystery that this being is moving into.
Right now, we need to move into a short break. And then I think it's going to be very important that we talk about why death is such a taboo subject for so many people to talk about. So this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz with The Pet Doctor. I'm chatting right now with Dr. Liz Fernandez, a certified hospice and palliative care practitioner. We're going to be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Looking for a dental treat that does more for your dog? Daily Dose is a 2-in-1 chew that pairs a daily dental scrub with powerful supplements to help with the biggest health concerns facing our dogs. Daily Dose was developed by vets to be simple to use and super effective. Plus, dogs love the taste. Available for joint, skin, heart health, or calming. Daily Dose, your pet's daily dose of awesome. Visit yourpetsdailydose.com to save $3 on your first bag with promo code PETLIFE. That's yourpetsdailydose.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Fernandez, I think you're exactly right. You know, most people, birth and death occurs someplace that where we never see it. It's done in the hospital. It happens someplace where people don't observe it and don't have an understanding. Why do you think it is so difficult, especially for Westerners, to talk and to appreciate that transition?
Well, I think one of the major things is that we look at it as failure. From our veterinary medical and medical establishment, death is a failure.
We couldn't do one more thing. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have failed. And even for people and for, you know, the clients, they were, you know, we talk about fighting and moving, you know, moving through these things and winning and getting curing and beating cancer and things like that. And there's power in that and there's value in that. And it also, when we push away the idea that ultimately we are going to die and we look at it as some sort of a failure. I mean, if you win when you beat cancer, that means you've lost if you die from cancer. And that's just not, that part of it's not helpful. So I don't necessarily have any problem with saying that you beat cancer. We just simply need to have another way to look at moving into death and birthing into death.
And we're never going to beat death. It's always going to happen.
Exactly. And denying that or not wanting to look at it. What happens is that if you know that you have to go on some pretty gnarly hikes and move, you know, across certain types of terrain, you will practice and you will get good at doing that. And then when you see something that maybe you've never seen before or you're prepared for it, you go, oh yeah, I know that this can happen. Right. And if we were to prepare ourselves and recognize death is actually something that's happening all the time and begin to recognize that we can deal with it because actually we are dealing with it all the time. I mean, every day, the day dies, the night comes, and then the day is rebirthed. You know, or you could say the night dies and every night, the night is rebirthed. So if we just begin to change our perspective of how we look at life, recognizing that life and death, the yin, the yang, are moving together all the time, then death becomes less of that scary boogeyman under the bed. And we begin to be able to recognize that these are just transitions that happen and it's okay. And so when the bigger ones happen, whether it's with someone that we love dearly or ourselves, we begin to have less fear and be able to stay present with it, because there's something really amazing when you stay present with it. And I have a lot of people that have experienced this, and I hope everyone can experience that.
Do you find that most people are opting for natural death in whatever connotation, definition they have of that? Or are most people opting for assisted passing, so the euthanasia where medications are injected or given that allows that animal to pass in a very set time frame?
I think that for most, I mean, I can absolutely say that most people are still opting for a euthanasia. And euthanasia means good death. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're opting for. I know for myself, I like the idea of being present, being in a very sacred, peaceful space, and allowing it to unfold for my own animals in that way with euthanasia. I'm not opposed to natural death. It's just that my lifestyle doesn't really permit me. I like to be there. I want to be there. And my lifestyle doesn't allow me to stay 24/7 in a hospice kind of a setting with my animals. And so since I have the option, that is my preference. And God bless the people that can be there and will be there and find a way to be there. So there's no right or wrong. And, you know, it's interesting how people, it's such a controversy about assisting death, and with animals, it's the controversy of allowing them to die naturally. And somewhere there's a happy medium for both those species, you know, or people and all other species. And I think that conversation is one that will happen over the next 20 or 30 years more robustly. But there's a place for both.
I find for myself in practice that one of the conversations that I try to have even before it gets to that very end, and people oftentimes think I'm somewhat morose when I start talking about quality of life, even for a younger animal, is like, I want to prepare you for this. It is going to happen. So put it in the back of your mind someplace. But There are many veterinarians, myself included, who use a quality of life scale. And I find it's helpful in many respects, but does have some drawbacks to it. In your hands, do you use these scales yourself?
I recommend that people explore them. And there are many out there that are easy to Google. And so instead of saying that this one's the right one or this one's better than that one, I let them find the one that they resonate with, if that's something that resonates with them. And I've had some people think, oh my gosh, this gave me such clarity. And that is wonderful. So I recommend that people explore them and get a sense of some of the things that, you know, you definitely want to be looking at. We talk about those things anyway, right? How much they're moving, how much they're engaged. So I do it informally, but I do recommend that people look at it at the actual scales that are out there. And then I say, again, in the end, regardless of what the number that you come up with, or whether the scale says that, you know, quality of life is poor or wonderful, you have to look at your own pet. What do you think? So, and I ask them to reevaluate that on a daily basis. And, you know, there may be one day that's not good, but there's other days that are great. And we know that the trajectory is going to be going down. So in a way, they're kind of looking at the trajectory and watching that, but they're looking at something deeper too. You know, there is something, and people talk about it, you know, that look in their eye, their pet's eye. And that's what happened with this story that I was told you about just a little earlier. I saw that dog's eyes and I just thought, I mean, my reaction was the same as hers. No, you don't have to. It was just like, I'm not going to be here. Whoa. And I didn't want to believe it. But after a couple of days, you know, and we were just trying different things. She had a little diarrhea. So we were trying to fix that. So, but it was, yeah.
So that look is definite, where it's kind of that flat look, like you have the worst case, the flu, and you can just see it in somebody's eyes. They don't have to tell you they feel poorly. You can just tell. So you've made the decision that the pet passes either naturally or has been euthanized, and now you feel guilty. Did I do it too soon? Did I do it too late? And I think what's even the most devastating, if there's multiple people in the home and one, two say, yes, it's time, and the other one has said, no, it wasn't ready, and they've had the pet euthanized. How do you handle those situations? Because guilt can just be devastating.
So, I mean, people can feel guilty about so many different aspects of the whole journey. And the simple answer, although it's not easy, is the remedy to guilt is forgiveness. So if you're feeling guilty that maybe you did, and let's say that you found out something different after you've euthanized, and it was like, oh my gosh, we could have tried this and you didn't know about it. So then you feel guilty. Or maybe you went too long and you realized, oh, that wasn't going to work. And you feel guilty because you put them through that another couple of days. Either way, the remedy is to forgive yourself. Oh, I didn't know that. And so I have to forgive myself for not knowing that, instead of saying, well, I should have known. How? You were getting all the information that you possibly could, and that information never got to you. Why is that? It's not your fault. And even if you think that it is, the only remedy for that is to be forgiving. And so your pet has given you the opportunity to experience and practice self-forgiveness. And that then is one of their blessings to you, one of those
gifts,
sacred gifts that they are offering to you. So when you start to feel that guilt, if you can remember that the remedy is forgiveness, and maybe you're feeling guilty because somebody else told you to do something and then you did it, well, then maybe that the forgiveness then is the forgiveness of them, because truly they were telling you whatever their recommendation was based on what they felt was the best thing. And even if you didn't agree, you can forgive them for just trying their best.
And there are so many times, especially right now with this COVID situation, people being out of work, it's like, oh, you know, I would love to do more, but I can't afford to do it. And that puts that extra guilt on you. And I love the fact that you're saying you need to just forgive yourself. You have done the best that you could in that situation. So what can be done for one person isn't exactly the same for the other.
And another situation at another time, you may have been able to do something totally different. It could be finances. It could be your physical ability. All of a sudden, you're in a situation where you can't lift something or you can't drive and you can't. So whatever it is, your situation, you have to be forgiving of what the actual circumstance is. And if you would look at someone else and say, well, of course you couldn't do that, then we have to give that to ourselves too. And that's, I mean, it's such a huge gift that our pets, you know, are offering us when what we need to learn from whatever that experience with them is self-forgiveness or forgiveness of others.
I think it's easier for, it's not easy, but easier for an adult to give forgiveness. And then there's children who they've grown up with a pet, you know, that has been their best buddy. And now their parents are saying this pet needs to pass. I think, how do you handle it with children, and should children be present when a pet passes?
So children should be present if they want to be present. I would never want a child to be forced to be present. But if they say that they want to be present, then I think that they should be given the opportunity, even if they're very little, and in fact, especially when they're very little, because they don't have abstract thinking ability under the age of 6 or so. And so they need to see something in the actual physicality of what's happening to understand it. And they actually, especially if you give them some context, which either the parents or the veterinarian can do, and let them know that it's all okay and that it's going to be peaceful and for the benefit of the pet because they're painful. And I have yet to ever see a child who didn't understand that, even the very little one. And so if they don't want to be there, though, they get to leave. And you have to make that just as okay, because there might be multiple kids in the family. Somebody might want to be there. And I always say, you know, and if somebody says they don't, I said, that's okay. That's okay. You know, you don't have to be here if you don't want to be. And just make whatever choice they have. They let that be okay.
Dr. Fernandez, there's so much more that I know we need to cover. And every situation's a little bit different. Everyone has. But, you know, what about this question? And what about this situation? I know that you're going to be putting on a virtual seminar, interactive workshop soon. Please give us information on that.
So the information on that basically is you can go to my website, which isn't quite ready yet, but it will be by the time this is up. So it's Wisdom Paws, WISDOMP, as in Paul, AWS.com, wisdompaws.com. And you can sign up for the workshop and you can sign up to get email and information on upcoming things. And also get, if you go to Amazon or you go to my website, you'll be able to get a copy of the book too.
And what will you be covering in the workshop?
So we're going to be covering this whole idea of our relationship with death, our relationship with suffering too, which we really didn't talk about what that looks like today, but that's another whole big topic. And then that listening to that inner voice and how to do that. So not only are we going to be talking about, but going over ways that we can help to create a healthy relationship with death and with suffering and with that amazing inner voice that we all have, listening to it, recognizing it, and being able to act from it. So that's what it's going to be. A full day, and it should be really, really exciting. So,
and when's it going to be?
It's Sunday, September 13th. And like I said, it's all day. So all that information will be on the website. But yes, the 13th of September, which is a Sunday.
And the fee for it?
It will be $149.95.
Perfect. Well, I know it's a tremendous amount of information that we've covered today, and even more that you'll be covering in that virtual live interactive workshop. So Dr. Liz Fernandez, thank you very much for being with us today. A topic that so many people don't want to discuss, but it's necessary to discuss because it happens to all of us and to those members of our family that sadly are never with us as long as we'd like them to be.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Well, my pleasure. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please tune in again next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you that best possible pet owner. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.